Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical bill expert, finding savings can seem impossible. Well, HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. So start saving with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
L-A-S-I-K. LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
John and Ken Show, John Cobell and Ken Champeau, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Well, we always like to hear from you. If you want to email, you want to call the Moist line, that number is 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. Coming up this hour, there's finally some degree of justice for a woman by the name of Kate Steinle, who was shot to death on a pier in San Francisco in 2015 by an illegal alien with a gun. And the only reason she's getting justice is he was acquitted of her murder, but they did nab him on federal gun charges because, what do you know, illegal aliens are not allowed to possess guns. So we'll bring you the update on the story and the outrage, because I had forgotten this part about how San Francisco prosecutors specifically got him back, only not to charge him and to release him, and there he was on the streets because he apparently was just a homeless guy wandering around. He got his hands on a gun and went off. That's coming up later on this hour.
Eric Garcetti is still not the ambassador to India. He was nominated in July. Still hasn't had a vote from the full Senate.
I have mixed feelings about that.
And now you have the Senator Charles Grassley, the Republican from Iowa, who's the top Republican on the Judiciary Committee, saying he's putting a personal hold on Garcetti's confirmation because he's got a lot of witnesses who claim that Garcetti ignored sexual harassment in his office, specifically Rick Jacobs, who I'm sure you've heard about. An LAPD officer started this story claiming that he, the officer, was Garcetti's bodyguard for years and that Garcetti watched Jacobs harass him physically and sexually for quite a while. Others have come forward and said, yeah, that was happening to me too. And others have said that Garcetti knows about it. One woman in particular is Naomi Seligman. She was a spokesperson for Garcetti, and she sent a 31-page letter. Actually, a nonprofit law firm that's representing her sent the letter to the Department of Justice, the California Attorney General's office, even George Gascon, accusing Garcetti of lying and conspiring to cover up the sexual harassment against Jacobs. And we're now going to talk with John Tighe, and he's with that legal group representing Naomi Seligman. Whistleblower Aid is the name of the group. He's the founder and chief disclosure officer. And we'll get him on the line here. John, how are you?
Great. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Wonderful. Great. What, glad to be here.
What do you know about these witnesses who are talking to Senator Grassley's staff about Garcetti?
I know a lot about them. I've spoken to most of them myself. They were all either harassed by Rick Jacobs personally or saw him harass other people over many years in many contexts, many cities in Los Angeles and Washington, D.C., in Europe for the Olympic bid, pretty much everywhere the mayor was. Rick Jacobs was there grabbing somebody inappropriately, kissing them on the mouth, without their consent, something like that, in an elevator in the U.S. Capitol building. Garcetti had to intervene when Rick Jacobs, there's no polite way to say this, started dry humping a woman in the corner of the elevator who worked for the mayor.
And somebody's going to testify that they saw Garcetti in that elevator do that. That's what you're saying.
It's already happened. They testified under oath as part of the Garza lawsuit that you mentioned. This person was deposed. And they said, yeah, he started rubbing up against her in the elevator. She asked him to stop. The mayor had to intervene and say, Rick, cut it out.
Now, was Garcetti...
That was in 2017. Before the mayor lied twice under oath in 2021, once in his deposition in California, once in front of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee in December.
Was he confronted with that during his deposition in the civil case? Did they say, we have a witness that claims that you intervened when this guy was doing this to this woman in the elevator, when Jacobs was doing it?
It's interesting. He wasn't asked about it in the deposition. He was asked about it later, and his office issued a statement, I believe, to the LA Times saying, he didn't happen to remember that incident, but that if it had happened, intervening to stop it sounds like something he might have done. He would have done.
That's a real politician's answer. That's great.
Right. But if it happened, he would have tried to stop it.
He would have been done the right thing to stop
it. But since he doesn't
remember it happening.
Which is why Jacobs was never let go until this whole story went public.
And he didn't inhale. Remember, he said he was holding his breath.
Right.
That's right. The mask problem.
How many people have a story of either witnessing it, being a victim, or knowing that Garcetti was aware?
I personally talked to over 10 people, men and women, from before Garcetti even met Rick Jacobs, going back to when Jacobs was at the Courage campaign on Proposition 8 back in, like, what year was that? 2010, something like that. So even before then, through the initial campaign, when Jacobs was the main fundraiser, the main PAC, to Jacobs' 3.5 years as deputy chief of staff, to when Jacobs was so toxic that the mayor finally had to move him out into external positions. He ran all of the fundraising and the ballot initiatives and the Olympics campaign and everything else. During all that whole period, on all the trips, in the mayor's limousine, in the mayor's suite in City Hall, inside the mayor's office, at Rick Jacobs' 60th birthday party, every place inside the White House.
Was this going on every day?
Yeah, every day. Multiple people a day. Every LAPD officer in charge of protecting the mayor, I love me, my LAPD. My name is Rick. You can call me Dick. It goes on and on. The one person has testified under oath. The White House social secretary, Jeremy Bernard, worked on a daily basis with the president and first lady, President Barack Obama, Michelle Obama, and for years ran the White House social calendar, a very senior position, special assistant to the President of the United States. He's testified under oath and given statements to the newspaper that Garcetti three times, they were friends, Garcetti three times told him, laughing, I can't believe the city hasn't been sued over Rick Jacobs yet. And one of those times was in the White House, January 2017, the last party in the White House before the end of the Obama administration, with all the celebrities and everything. Garcetti's in there laughing about how Rick Jacobs got away with it and they escaped scot-free. Well, not quite, because the U.S. Senate, against the odds at the last minute, is finally doing its job to vet this candidate. Grassley is a hero who's actually been a friend to whistleblowers for many years, his entire career. He leads the whistleblower caucus in the U.S. Congress, and he's in all kinds of federal agencies and everywhere. Grassley has played a leadership role. He's intervened to basically put a hold on this nomination, and I don't think this is going to come back from the dead, this nomination. We've been talking to at least a dozen Senate offices, staff, senior staff, the chief of staff, the legislative director, the floor director, the state directors, for Republicans and Democrats in the Senate, and not a single one has said, we're going to vote for Garcetti. Some of them, Democrats and Republicans, have said he's not qualified. Even without this, he's not qualified. He has no foreign policy experience. But I've even had, last week we had Democratic staffers tell us, I can't see this nomination going forward. The White House will have to withdraw it. So,
Can you hold on, John?
I think we may be looking at the end of Garcetti's political career.
All right. Can you hold on? John Tai is with us with Whistleblower Aid. That's the organization that represents a woman by the name of Naomi Seligman, who used to be the spokeswoman for Mayor Garcetti. And she's the one that used this organization to get to the United States Senate, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, particularly a senator by the name of Chuck Grassley, a Republican from Iowa, to put a hold on Garcetti's nomination to be ambassador to India, because it's pretty clear that he ignored sexual harassment in his office, that he either witnessed it, knew about it, and then, of course, he testified both to the Senate committee and in a civil matter concerning his former aide, Rick Jacobs, that he lied, it appears. More coming up.
I could talk about the end of Garcetti's career all day.
I know. This is fascinating.
I'm just overwhelmed. John and Ken, KFI. John and Ken Show, John Cobell, Ken Champeau, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere in the iHeartRadio app.
All right, we continue with John Tai, Whistleblower's Aide. He represents a woman by the name of Naomi Seligman, who used to be the spokeswoman for Mayor Eric Garcetti. And she's decided that she took her case to the U.S. Senate. There apparently are a number of people that are willing to testify that they either saw Garcetti witness a sexual harassment by his former aide, Rick Jacobs, or that he certainly knew about it, even joking at one point that I don't know how we didn't get sued yet. And they did get sued. There was a civil deposition in which Garcetti again denied witnessing or having any knowledge of this sex harassment. He also said this to a Senate committee, which did vote to send along his nomination to the full Senate. But Senator Chuck Grassley, a Republican from Iowa, has put a hold on that nomination. He wants his staff to investigate these whistleblower claims further.
So we're going to talk with John Tai again, a founder and a chief disclosure officer for this group called Whistleblower Aid, who had filed this 31-page complaint on behalf of Garcetti's former spokeswoman, Naomi Seligman, who witnessed plenty herself. John, it's hard to put yourself in the mind of Eric Garcetti. What's fascinating about this is he's seeing this with his own eyes every day, right? And it certainly was a huge public issue in those years, right? It was during the Weinstein era.
There's so many ironies here, which is that in response to the Weinstein reporting and indictments, he signed some anti-harassment and anonymous whistleblowing policies, I think in 2017, and then immediately proceeds to break his own policies. And his chief of staff was trying to identify when the first complaints came in. There's sworn testimony from the communications director, the chief of staff, Ana Guerrero, was saying, let's figure out who these people are and punish them for bringing these complaints forward.
What I was getting to also is he had big ambitions. He wanted to be president. He wanted to be in Biden's cabinet. I'm sure he would run for Senate or governor if the timing was right. I mean, he wanted to be a big deal in American politics. He saw how many careers got destroyed, not the corporate executives, all these media anchors, and destroyed not only just for participating in that kind of sexual harassment, but knowing about it and not disciplining. I've read about a number of corporate executives who were kicked out because they allowed all kinds of nonsense to go on. And it didn't occur to him, just out of self-preservation, to cut ties with Jacobs 5 years ago?
Look, I can't explain all this either myself. I mean, it's like a Greek tragedy type thing, hubris. Is finally catching up with him. And just this feeling, I guess, that he was invulnerable and everyone worked for him. I mean, I think it was just entitlement and arrogance.
Not to mention, it's just gross to see. It's gross to see some, a big bald guy constantly forcing his mouth on men and women in front of you every day, making everybody uncomfortable and repulsed. I mean, why would you want to experience that as often as Garcetti did?
I would like to know the answer to that myself. I'm not sure we ever will get an answer because so far the mayor has not said one truthful thing about this whole situation. And, you know, we'll see if that ever changes.
Well, I have two things. First of all, he did get cleared by this Senate committee. And because this is a top Republican senator, aren't they just going to claim that this is nothing but politics? And my second question is, can he be criminally charged for this perjury?
The second question is, yes, he could be criminally charged. I mean, that would take a lot of work. It would take a prosecutor who wanted to do the very difficult legwork of pulling together witnesses and building a case. It's possible. It's difficult. So I wouldn't say it's likely. But it's, you know, in a, if there were justice in the world, it would happen. But going back to the first thing, this is very far from politics. The witness, my client, has been a lifelong Democrat who worked on Capitol Hill for Democrats and worked in the Garcetti administration for Democrats and has worked for Democrats her whole life. Other witnesses who confirm this thing all work for Garcetti. They're all Democrats. Jeremy Bernard, who was the White House Social Security, secretary who's testified about Garcetti laughing about Jacob's behavior and can't believe he didn't get sued, was the social secretary to the, President Obama, a Democrat. So the witnesses here and most of the victims are Democrats. And so this isn't some kind of partisan thing. And in fact, while Grassley is, has always been a leader on whistleblower issues and has very properly stepped up here, we've heard very similar things from the many, at this point, seven or eight or more Democratic offices, Senate offices we've spoken to. I think this is becoming a bipartisan thing.
Well, John, Ty, always good to talk to you and your organization.
Yeah, last thing for your listeners. Oh, yeah. Number one, if you're hearing this and you're seeing misconduct in the government, at your workplace, at a company, come find us, whistleblowerate.org. We will help you for free, just like we did Naomi and a whole bunch of other people. You can read about our work. And we're a charity. We depend on donations. So go to whistleblowerate.org to support what we're doing.
All right. Thanks for coming on again. John Tai with Whistleblower Aid, representing a woman named Naomi Seligman, who used to be Garcetti's spokeshole. And she's the one that got this organization to send a long letter detailing the claims of many witnesses that Garcetti certainly knew about and even witnessed some of the sex harassment by his former top aide, a man by the name of Rick Jacobs. Now, this hold on Garcetti's nomination means he cannot be confirmed through what they call a unanimous consent agreement. They can force a roll call vote, but apparently this process eats up valuable Senate floor time. Last we heard, the White House was standing behind their nomination of Garcetti, but it's possible, and you heard our guest John Tai thinks that this is not going to happen for Garcetti.
Garcetti will have to quietly withdraw. Probably,
or maybe loudly, they'll pull him out kicking and screaming.
Probably you'll like Friday night at about 11:30 at night. Wow, the end of Eric Garcetti.
There might be another think tank for him somewhere.
Oh, yeah. No, somebody, some idiot.
You can use the Stooge Hall of Fame there at USC with Schwarzenegger and Villar.
That's
the Three Stooges.
He's a first ballot nominee to the Stooge Hall of Fame. That's
we're really
sure.
Pining for the days of Tony Villar. We look at the city now.
Wow. And you look around, you wonder why it's that way. We've had 17 years of Villaraigosa and Garcetti. This is on the public.
These are a few of my favorite things.
John and Ken.
We'll see.
John and Ken Show. John Cobell, Ken Champeau, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
The Russians have sanctioned Hillary Clinton. We'll bring you that detail. They picked out some individual Americans to be personally sanctioned. This is revenge for our sanctions.
You ever taken a personal sanction? That hurts.
That hurts.
Oof.
Speaking of sanctions, no, sanctuary. Wow, this story has come back around on the John and Ken Show. It was back in 2015 when an illegal alien in San Francisco, apparently a homeless illegal alien, Jose Inez Garcia Zarate, apparently got his hands on a gun at the Pier 14 in San Francisco. He claims it was kind of an accidental thing. He found it wrapped in a towel at the pier. He's playing with it. It goes off, and the bullet hits a woman by the name of Kate Steinle in the back as she's walking with her father. She died. This man, this is an unbelievable story that we're going to have to recap because it's been 7 years.
He had
been deported to his native Mexico 5 times, returned every time, served 46 months in prison for illegal reentry. But the last time, rather than deporting him again, they sent him back to San Francisco, immigration did, to face an old marijuana charge. Well, San Francisco didn't care. It quickly released him, and there he was wandering around the pier area to get his hands on a gun. By the way, the gun belonged to a U.S. park ranger who left it loaded, unlocked, in a backpack under the seat of his car. Zarate denied intentionally shooting it, said it went off accidentally. He was acquitted of her murder. They did convict him, though, of being a felon in possession of a gun. A state appeals court overturned that conviction. Wow. Said that a jury should be allowed to decide whether he had only momentarily possession of the weapon. Federal courts, however, rejected a damage suit by Steinle's parents, saying they were not responsible for the death. Federal prosecutors ended up filing charges of illegal firearms possession by a felon and an illegal alien. That brings us around to today, where a judge has finally decided that Garcetti Zarate is mentally competent to enter a plea. Therefore, he's back in the court system, and the plea is guilty. He's going to go to prison. Now, he's been in prison these 7 years anyway, so he'll probably get time served here.
Maximum term, 10 years, plus 3 years of supervised release on each of the two charges. He can request credit for time served, and he faces another deportation. But the real sin here was that he should have been deported again, and they didn't.
No, they turned him over to, I think at the time it was Gascon's office in San Francisco.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I mean, he'd been deported five times.
That he had a marijuana possession charge and just said,
He ended up in prison, and rather than deporting him again, immigration officials sent him to San Francisco. And that turned out to be, I think it was a ruse. Maybe San Francisco had promised to throw him in jail over the pot charge. But the city prosecutors, they fooled the feds, I guess.
Yeah.
And released him instead so he could wander around and get this gun. And it should have been a murder charge because he pulled the trigger and she died of the bullet. So I don't understand any other interpretation of what happened. And I don't understand the jury that let him go the first time.
I think because he was a homeless guy and some believe mentally ill, they just gave him a pass.
Who cares? No pass. When you pull a trigger and a woman dies, there's no pass. This though, is a turning point in my mind because I remember there was just no outrage at all from all the woke progressives in San Francisco, the politicians there.
Yeah.
I remember a Fox News host or reporter chasing a San Francisco County supervisor down the hall to ask about Kate Steinle. And this woman waddled very quickly away at a camera range. And she wasn't going to discuss this. Nobody was going to take responsibility that Kate Steinle died because of San Francisco's stupid woke sanctuary policy. They weren't going to even acknowledge it. They didn't care. When I realized that this waddling woman didn't care that Kate Steinle died, I said, okay, this is a sick cult. And they have no regard for human life. And they don't care what their blessed illegal aliens do. Doesn't matter what happens.
I mean, this was two issues at once. It was illegal immigration and the lack of deportation. And then it was also homeless. I believe he was a homeless man, too. It was like two things came together, kept this guy on the streets, get his hands on a gun.
Because somehow in the woke orthodoxy, whatever religion classes these people go to, it wasn't always this way. But just, you know, in the recent years, and 2015 was when I noticed it, they decided that even if illegal aliens murder people, it doesn't matter. That their sanctified status of being an illegal alien gave them special protection against being charged, against being deported, against even being denounced and vilified in any way.
Well, yeah, because they're the ultimate underdogs.
And
they had a hard life. They come here to find a new life. They get a pass.
And I think it was when when Trump started his campaign this same summer, 2015.
Yeah, this he made a big deal
talking,
out of this story.
Very bluntly about illegal aliens, that all the progressives decided that they were going to oppose any legal action against any illegal alien for any reason, including murdering a young woman.
Yeah, they had such an opposition to anything Trump said that, yeah, you're right, they would take the complete opposite stand and hold firm on it. Nothing that Trump wanted, they just felt has to be the opposite.
They're sick people.
These common sense out the window.
These woke San Francisco progressives are very sick, and they're inhumane.
Well, right. Some justice for the family, although I guess with time served.
It's good to find out he's been in prison all these years.
Yeah, I guess they just found that he wasn't mentally competent to face the gun charge, but that was enough to hold him because he was acquitted of her murder.
It's kind of weird.
All right, we got more coming up.
John and Ken. John and Ken Show. John Cobell and Ken Champeau, KFI. AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
All right, the Moist Line is on its way back in 3 days. 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. State Senator Melissa Melendez will join us at 5:05. Yesterday, the big story is that the State Assembly overwhelmingly said no to stopping for a period of time the gas tax you pay for a gallon of gas, the 51 cents California excise tax. Today, they also gave a big thumbs down in a committee to ending the pandemic emergency that Gavin Newsom imposed over 2 years ago. Melissa Melendez finally got it into a committee hearing. Man, I don't think it was short. I think it was short-lived.
They will never release control. This was the great gift to these woke progressives. They want to control your lives. They found this emergency declaration provision in law, and now they're not giving it up. I mean, there's 70 emergency declarations that Newsom has kept in effect. 70 of them. Can you think of 70 things that we need his control over?
Well, some he's letting expire, but I think there'll still be 30 or 40 through June.
Yeah, but he could have ended them all now, today.
Yeah,
a week ago.
Get a list if you can understand them.
3 months ago?
We'll talk to Melissa after 5 o'clock. We'll give you some updates on the Russia invasion of Ukraine. We were just talking about an illegal immigrant who at the San Francisco Pier in 2015 fired off a gun that killed a woman by the name of Kate Steinle. The case is back in the news because he is going to get some prison time for having the gun. He was acquitted of her murder, but the feds went after him for possession of a gun because he's an illegal immigrant. And I guess he was a felon, too, for being deported like 5 times. The number of illegal immigrants nabbed at the southern border rose in February. Story that's just not covered anymore. You have to find these stories in places like the Washington Times and other outlets.
Woke journalists not interested.
No. Single adult Mexicans poured into the country at their highest rate in years. All told, Customs and Border Protection tallied 165,000 encounters with unauthorized migrants last month. That was up 7% compared to January. So this has not died down. I mean, there was a big furor last year. Remember all the Haitians that were under the bridge in Texas? Got some media coverage for a couple of weeks.
That was the last time that the networks covered it.
Right. They don't cover this anymore.
No, only
it's
Fox
business
does.
As usual.
Only Fox does regular reports.
Right.
And it's the same report every time. It's just thousands of illegal aliens coming over the border and nobody stopping them.
This time, of those nabbed, 71,000 were Mexican. That's more than 40% compared to just a couple of months ago. So maybe it's not so much Central Americans and other countries coming here. It's a lot of old Mexican people that want to get to the U.S. again.
I heard a report there was 8,600 Russians that they've encountered.
That makes sense.
What do you think's going on there?
Well, no, they're trying to escape Putin. No,
yeah.
You think they're here to do us harm?
All 8,600?
Well, maybe not all 8,600. I can't.
They're all good people. They're all good people, right?
Interesting. No. Half full and half empty. We just did. You're half empty. They're all terrorists. I'm half full. They're trying to escape Putin.
I'm almost entirely empty at all times.
You are a half empty guy.
Half full would be the greatest day ever. I never get to half full. Well, I look at humanity and I just, it's nearly empty.
Why don't I just top this off by saying, I hope they're good people, because you like hope.
Yeah, right. Let's live on hope. Hope really gets you places.
The majority of people though caught at the border were quickly expelled under the pandemic health emergency order that the Trump administration implemented, which the Biden administration has kept largely in place, although I think they tried to get rid of it. They nabbed about 25,000 parents and their children traveling as families. Other yardsticks included huge heroin seizures, spiking 173% in February. Cocaine seizures were up 83%. Meth seizures rose 97%.
Yeah. And then
America's appetite for drugs.
Well, and then you see all the human debris on the streets of L.A. Those are all heroin and meth addicts. So it's pouring over the border. I mean, what the Border Patrol intercepted is a small fraction. Most of it gets here. And then what do you got in the streets?
Death.
Dying, gasping heroin and meth addicts.
Homeless people.
Yeah. So it's weird that nobody in government wants to do anything to stop that process. Slow it down in the slight. They really don't care. That's why I never, ever, ever want to hear about, if we could just save one life. When they're saying that, it means they want to control you in some way because they don't apply that particular metric to anything else.
Listen to this. Before President Biden, the country has now marked its 12th, under President Biden, its 12th straight month of encounters at the border, exceeding 150,000. Before Biden, it had been 15 years since the U.S. last recorded even a single month with more than 150,000 Border Patrol apprehensions.
His presidency, his policies are the most disastrous I've ever seen in the last...
The border's overrun. Inflation's overrun.
Absolutely.
He's weak when it comes to foreign powers.
Yeah. I mean, the way he bugged out of Afghanistan probably had a lot to do with Putin invading Ukraine.
Because you talk to this crowd that hated Trump, they don't care. You're exaggerating.
Well, it doesn't matter what they think. The facts are the facts. You know, there's people who believe in QAnon, too. I'm not interested in what people believe. I know what's true. What's true is that is the most disastrous border policy ever in the history of the United States. Most disastrous economic policy with this 10% inflation now.
Right.
I mean, that's not debatable. Unequivocal. But you know, it should have been expected. He was a bumbling loser, and then he sold his soul to the progressive a-holes.
Did you hear? Apparently, he hinted the other day about running again. I know it's 2020.
He can't.
But he says that if Trump runs, that would be much more incentive for him. Well, he said something about if my health holds up. If this was today, I'd run. But I don't know what I'll be like in 2 years.
It's not. I know what he's going to be like in 2 years.
I know you said that 2 years ago when he won.
And look at him, right? Look at him.
You thought he'd be carried out in the first year. You said that.
Okay.
He survived a year now.
Okay, he survived a year. He's alive. I'll grant you he's alive, but he's not functioning.
All right, coming up next, State Senator Melissa Melendez. She finally got a committee hearing on her resolution to end the California state of emergency due to the pandemic. It's been more than 700 days. It failed in committee. She's on next.
John and Ken Show. Deborah Mark has news. KFI AM 640.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.